This is Growing in Grace. And now, here's Richard O'Phil.
We live in a culture that's at war with what the Holy Spirit is trying to accomplish in our lives. We often expect that truth will be easy to discover and that error will be obvious. However, more likely than not, error comes wrapped in a skin of truth, making it difficult to recognize. We should expect this, and so we must be alert. We need to pray and to study that we will have the gift of discernment. Jesus cautioned that in the last days there would be deceptions. The Apostle Paul even points out that lying would be a characteristic of people living in the last days. You know, friend, lying could well be the worst of all the sins we commit. Now, without a doubt, pride and selfishness are the mother of all sins. But it is the sin of lying that makes all the other sins possible. This must be true, because the very first sin committed by Adam and Eve was enabled, or we could say facilitated, by a lie. A lie, in effect, becomes the umbrella under which all the other sins are sheltered. The Lord has made it possible for us to break away and be forgiven of every sin. He says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The first step toward forgiveness is repentance. Repentance is to recognize when we've been living contrary to the will of God. But unless we are truthful, we will never repent. This is because a person who knowingly denies that what they are doing or what they're about to do is against the will of God, they will continue to disobey. Many have formed the habit of telling what they consider to be little white lies. These lies are seen as harmless, or if not harmless, they're perceived to be better alternatives at the time to telling the truth. However, the Bible does not classify lies, so there's really no such thing as a little white lie. Something is either true or it's a lie. As long as a person can lie and feel comfortable about it or even justify it, it will be impossible to resist temptation and the sins that have to do with a violation of the commitment between us and God, and particularly between husbands and wives. There's a mindset that points to instances in Scripture where men and women who were considered heroes told lies. Since the Bible doesn't specifically condemn these people, it's sometimes assumed that under certain circumstances, God condones lying. Rahab the prostitute, who lived in Jericho, is a case in point. She told a lie to protect the two spies that came to her house. But the Scriptures are scathingly honest. They tell the life stories of men and women who later became heroes for the Lord. But just because a person later became a Bible hero doesn't mean that everything they did along the way was to the glory of God or as a model for the Christian life. I don't say this to diminish any Bible character. The point is that we will continue in our sins and perish in our sins unless we become perfectly honest with God, with ourselves, and with others. In John 8 it says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The implication of this text is not only that there is an objective truth which is in Jesus Christ, but that we ourselves must come to the place where we prefer the truth. Not only must we prefer to hear the truth, we must prefer to tell the truth. The Scriptures teach that those who are lost will not only be those who are into telling lies, but also those will be lost who love to hear lies told. We're living in a society in which truth is no longer seen as important, and lying is definitely an option. But with God, truth is everything, and lying is unacceptable. How does God feel about lying and those who persist in telling lies? There are many texts, but here's just a few. In Proverbs 12, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. And then in Proverbs 19, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. In 1 Timothy 4 we read, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Friend, the Scriptures are clear. We don't have to read between the lines or study Greek or Hebrew to understand what's being said. If we prefer to hear lies and we persist in telling lies, we will not and cannot be saved. Earlier I pointed out that lying may be the most serious of sins because it's the umbrella under which we justify all other sins we habitually commit. You see, lying is fatal to spiritual growth because it blocks us from receiving the truth. And without the truth, we cannot be set free. Remember the text, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." In plain language, we cannot gain victory over any sin until we have gotten victory over telling lies. Proverbs 28 says it plainly, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." How could it be more clear? While we're trying to hide our sins from others and from ourselves, we will not repent. And if we will not repent, we cannot find the mercy of the Lord. Some years ago, I had an experience I will never forget. I had decided that I would preach a sermon on lying. Up to that moment, I had never preached on the subject in an organized way. The problem was, I couldn't think of how to present the subject in a way that the people hadn't already heard before. I happened to be traveling at the time, and on that particular morning was in my motel room waiting for my colleagues to pick me up. I decided that while I was waiting, I would spend the time trying to organize my thoughts for the sermon. I sat down at the table. I didn't have a notebook, so I found some small pieces of paper in the room that didn't have anything printed on the backs. I had just begun to jot down some thoughts when there was a knock on the door of the room. I called out, "Come in." The door opened. It was one of the hotel maids. She was an African-American woman who appeared to be in her late 20s or early 30s. When she saw me at the table, she said, "Excuse me, I'll be back later." "Don't mind me," I said. "Go ahead." She came into the room and went into the bathroom to take out the towels. In a minute or two, she had finished in the bathroom and was beginning to change the sheets on the bed. Suddenly, I got an idea. I decided I would ask her what she thought of lying. So I said, "I'm a minister, and I'm preparing a sermon on lying. May I ask you a question?" And without waiting for her to reply, I continued, "When is it all right to lie?" And she stopped what she was doing, and she looked over at me, and she said, "Never." What did I expect? How could she say anything less to a minister who was preparing a sermon on lying? But then she continued. She said, "But I used to lie when I figured that if I didn't, things may not turn out well for me." I began to take notes. And then I said, "You said you used to lie? What happened to cause you to stop?" She replied, "I stopped lying when I found out how God feels about it." And then she asked me a question, and she answered it herself. She said, "Do you know why we lie?" "We lie because we don't trust God." A light went on in my mind. She was right. Sometimes when we get into difficulties, we may feel that being truthful will get us into bigger problems. And so we try to cover up. Then the maid continued, "But we don't have to worry, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world." I could hardly believe what I was hearing. This wonderful Christian woman was not a beginner in things having to do with holy living. You know, I even wondered for a moment if she was really a maid in the motel, or if possibly she was an angel that God has sent to help me understand something that I hadn't contemplated before. But she wasn't through yet. As she continued to make the bed, she concluded, "The alcoholic says if he doesn't have booze, he can't make it. The drug addict says if he doesn't have drugs, he can't make it. I want my life to be such that if I don't have Jesus, I won't be able to make it." I thank God that he allowed me to meet this woman who made the bed and straightened the room that day. I now had what I needed for a sermon, and what she had said continues to be a blessing to me that I will never forget. Friend, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. As we approach the end of time, it is important, no, it is necessary, that we submit our hearts and lives completely to all that the Holy Spirit wants to do, not only for us, but in us. Yet He will not be able to do this work unless we are perfectly honest with Him and with ourselves and with others. Our society no longer is based on truth. Neither does it regard the truth as essential. We're being subjected to so many lies that we're losing the ability to tell the difference. And worse still, we're beginning to prefer hearing lies to hearing the truth. As the maid said, many tell lies when they fear that telling the truth would get them into trouble. The maid in the motel was right. We do not yet trust God the way we should, the way we must, if He's to dwell in us richly and to finish the work that He's begun in our hearts. And so remember, lying is what we do when we don't want to face reality. And friend, unless we face reality, we will not admit we're doing wrong. And unless we admit we're doing wrong, we won't repent and will continue to be on the wrong track. Let's think about this issue. How is it in your life? Oh, let's pray that God will give us a spirit of truth, a spirit of honesty. Holy Father, who art in heaven, Jesus was here among us. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He lived that life because He trusted in You. He always made it a practice to tell the truth, even when things weren't going to turn out right. May we be the same in His name.
If you would like more information about Growing in Grace, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 800-752-3226.